A Cambridge couple who allegedly served as Russian spies will appear in a New York federal court today. Donald Heathfield and Tracy Leanne Foley are among 10 defendants in the U.S. facing charges in the case. Today's arraignment follows reports of a potential spy swap with Russia, something officials are downplaying. Nicholas Daniloff spent more than 10 years reporting from the Soviet Union during the Cold War and is now a professor of journalism at Northeastern University. He was part of a prisoner swap himself in 1986 when he was arrested by the KGB and charged with espionage, accusations he has consistently denied. Professor Daniloff, good morning and thanks a lot for speaking with us.
Well, it's my pleasure, Bob.
Professor, let me ask you, how odd does all of this feel to you as this spy game seems to many to be like a throwback to the Cold War?
Well, in part it's odd, and in part it isn't odd. The part that isn't odd is that the Russians are going to be spying in the United States for as long as the United States exists. They have three major interests, and that is industrial secrets, military weaponry secrets, and political decision-making secrets. So they're always going to be trying to find new information into all of that. What it strikes me as being very odd is that the people arrested in the United States were not charged with espionage. But they had set up a system, a network, which eventually could have led them into espionage. And it was deeply hidden, deeply covered, and it would be quite difficult, I think, later on to discover who was doing what in the way that they had created these secret connections.
Does it feel to you that these people accused in the U.S. and the one who's free, maybe somewhere in Europe having fled, does it feel to you like they're getting off a little easy?
Well, that's always a question when you have a swap, because what you will find is that in the United States, the conservative part of the body politic is likely to say you shouldn't be swapping these people for that people. In my case, in 1986, the deal practically fell apart at one point because the conservative said that you should not swap an American journalist who is without guilt for a spy who has been found taking secrets for money.
So let me ask you this from your experience, since I think you were just referring to yourself, what should the U.S. be looking for, or who should the U.S. be looking for in exchange?
Well, the United States should try to find 10 or 11 people who are imprisoned in Russia for espionage, so that it is as much as possible a one-on-one exchange. One thing that can be done if you can't find that is that you can make the other side, because after all, the Russians were caught red-handed in this case, you can make the other side pay a premium for getting their guys back.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a premium might be the release of people who have been arrested on political charges, dissidents, people who have been repressed because they object to the authoritarian rule of Vladimir Putin, something of that sort.
So something that might create a political stir.
Well, I must say that reading on one of the Russian websites, there was a report that those 10 that might be, or 11 that might be released from Russia, would be allowed to take one relative with them. In other words, we give them 10 people and 20 people come out.
What do you imagine will become of these people who might be headed back to Russia in this swap if they're returned? Will they fade away? Will they be hailed as heroes?
I think they will pretty much fade away for the most part. In another 3, 4, 5 years, somebody may do an interview with them wanting to know how they've adjusted to Russian life. I'd say there's a good chance that they will not be all that happy in Russia, but who knows?
Where do relations between the U.S. and Russia go from here? How might this Cold War throwback change things? Will it change anything?
Well, it's certainly a ruffle in the waters for the moment, but the United States and the Russians have some important common interests to go after. One is the new Strategic Arms Treaty, which conservatives in America are raising questions about now because of this incident. The United States and Russia have an interest in combating terrorism. They have an interest in environmental issues. This, if you take a long look at it, is a relatively minor problem in a relationship which has some very big major issues to deal with.
So then after the ruffle in the water is smoothed out, the ruffle in the water, as you put it, we pretend like this never happened.
Well, not only do we pretend, but we'll forget about it.
Nick Daniloff, professor of journalism at Northeastern University, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Well, it's my pleasure.